You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. I just love it when we come to church and God comes to church, you know? We were preaching a couple of weeks ago about when God shows up. And I just love it when God shows up. When we're talking about experiencing His glory, His goodness, and singing today, Lord, show us your glory. And you be careful what you ask. Be careful what you sing, because the Lord will just do it, right? If you've got a humble heart and you're really hungry for Him, He's going to minister. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel like I got an encouraging word today, and I think it's fitting in light of some of the words of wisdom that were just given. And if you're kind of new to a Pentecostal church, what you just saw happening was the gifts of the Spirit operating like the New Testament talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, for instance, a word of knowledge. We believe that gifts of healing are being released. Anybody, in fact, there's no better time than right now. If you're one of the ones that something got called out, you raised your hand, somebody prayed for you, and you know that you've been touched, you know something happened, would you just raise your hand right now? You know there's a hand that's lifted. Anybody else? There's another hand right here, another. Yeah, come on, let's just celebrate that. Amen. We need to acknowledge when the Lord does it. I mean, sometimes I heard somebody, I am so off subject right now, but y'all just give me a moment. I'll ramble my way back into my sermon. But I remember somebody talking about, you know, the book of Acts, and I just want to be in a book of Acts church where all these signs and wonders and miracles happen. I'm telling you, you're in a book of Acts church right now where you just saw things happening. You're like, well, not as many as we've seen. Did you know how many years it took to write the book of Acts? How many years that covers? That covers like 30 or 40 years. And it's not just one church. It's like all over the world, the known world at that day, that all of those different miracles are being recorded. So, I mean, when you look at the book of Acts and all that was covered in that many times over that much space, and then you look and see what God's doing today, listen, God is still alive. He's still doing it today. And we ought to just expect it to keep on happening. Amen. Praise the Lord, yeah. So miracles, signs, and wonders, and healings, and yeah, that revival that we were just singing about. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Because you know, life is not always about signs and wonders and miracles and healings and revival. You know, when some of the words that we were given were like anxiety, fear, worry, stress. You know, we're living in tough days. Come on, can we just be honest with ourselves for a moment? I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago with a bunch of ministers, and it was just interesting to just listen to some of the talk that was going around. I mean, it wasn't grumbling and complaining kind of talk, but there was an honesty that was saying, you know, these have been some of the toughest last couple of years that we've been through. Any of you kind of identify with that? Yeah, this has been tough. I mean, COVID and inflation and I mean all the stuff that's going on. And it's not just the national level stuff. It's some of us has just been going through stuff on a very personal level. You're going through one of the most challenging periods of your life, and sometimes we just are fighting and sometimes it just doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. And just in all honesty, sometimes we come to that place of just frustration, just a bit overwhelmed by life, and maybe you found yourself saying things like, I just can't do it anymore. I just can't go on. I just can't take it anymore. I just can't. You don't have to raise your hand, but if you've been there and that those words, I just can't, have been in your vocabulary lately, I believe I've got some good news for you from God's word, because while you may not be able to in your own strength, there is hope. And I want to go to the book of Philippians this morning, Philippians chapter 4. Before I begin to read that scripture, the title of my message this morning is The Secret of the Can-Do Life, not the I Can't Life, but I can do it. And we're going to look at the secret to the can-do life. Paul is writing to the Philippians from a Roman prison. You got to get the context here. He's writing to the church from a Roman prison. How many of you would say that if you were writing a letter from a prison, things are probably not going the way you expected in life? Okay? This is not what I signed up for kind of territory. This is where Paul is writing. And here's a really cool, interesting thing about the book of Philippians. The key word to the book of Philippians is joy or rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's found in the book of Philippians. This is the key. Here's a man writing from a prison, and he's telling people, I want you to rejoice. And I want you to see why he has that kind of an attitude. Let's read it together, starting in Philippians 4, verse 10. I rejoice, there's that word. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content. Somebody say content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret. Somebody say secret. Of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And for those of us who are raised on the King James Version, we know that verse 13 is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Paul is writing to a church from a prison, but he's actually writing to a church that was birthed out of a prison. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll find that Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey. They'd come to the city of Philippi. They'd begun to preach and to minister and teach, and the people of the city didn't like it, and they arrested them. They had them beaten. They threw them in prison. And we read that story how that in the midnight hour, they were praising and worshiping the Lord when there was an earthquake and all of the gates of the prison cells, all the doors swung open. The guard of all of the prisoners was afraid that the prisoners would escape, and he was getting ready to take his own life. And Paul says, no, nobody's escaped. We're all here. Don't do yourself any harm. And it gave him an opportunity to begin to preach Jesus and to talk to him about Jesus. And before the night ends, there in this prison, a church was birthed. This man gets saved. His family gets saved. And now Paul is writing to this church from a prison. You know, Paul's just kind of like, he was like, anybody relate to that? Maybe a few people in here like, yeah, I've been to that prison. You know, Paul had been, he'd done his rounds. He'd been in a few different prisons in life. And he's writing to them and he's thanking them. First of all, he says, I just want to thank you. You had an opportunity to send me a love gift to just sow into my ministry. And it was really helpful and I really appreciate it. But he says, but I want to do more than that. I want to do more than just thank you. I want to just kind of share with you something that I've learned in life. He says, because I want you to get that I'm not thanking you because I'm desperate for money. He says, because I've learned that money's not the answer. I've learned that there are times in my life where I've got plenty and there are times when I don't have that much. The times when I've eaten and times when I'm hungry, times when I've got money in the bank, times when I don't have money in the bank. He says, it's not about those times. It's not about the need or the lack of need. He said, because I've learned something that's really given me the secret to my joy in life, and that is I've learned that no matter what the circumstances, to be content, to be at peace, to be at a place where I'm like, I'm satisfied. I don't have to have something else that's going to make me happy. I can be happy whether I got lots of stuff or whether I don't have anything at all, because it's not the outer stuff that's going to make me happy. It's the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, no matter what is going on in life. And then Paul comes to this place where he makes this really bold statement of faith. And he says, in fact, I've learned not only how to be content, he says, but I've learned this, I've discovered this. I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all, I can handle any circumstance in life. What a tremendous statement of faith. He's like, I can do it. When there are times that the circumstances look like, no, you can't. You know, there's this, no, you can, yes, I can, no, you can't, yes, I can, you know. When it looks like that sometimes, he's like, yes, I can. And he gives us the secret to it. And I want to share that with you this morning real briefly in the time that I have left. Now maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, this is the Apostle Paul. He had these great experiences with God. I mean, on his salvation, remember, he was on the road to Damascus when the Lord confronts him, knocks him off of his donkey, blinds him, speaks to him in an audible voice. Anybody else had a conversion experience like that? Neither did I. Some people are going, I'm not qualified to, you know, to talk like Paul, because he had that great experience with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about this heavenly vision that he had and how glorious it was. And then he does this really kind of almost mean thing to us. He says, it was so great, I can't even tell you about it. You know? I'm like, well, don't even mention it, okay? If you can't tell me about it, don't even mention it. And that's just me. I'm sorry. You know, my humanity coming through there a little bit. But we're like, but Paul, you had these glorious heavenly visions and all that, man. No wonder you feel like you can do anything through Christ that gives you strength. But I didn't have those experiences. And most of you haven't heard audible voices and had heavenly visions. And maybe you're thinking, I'm not qualified. Listen, I want to tell you, the secret to the can-do life isn't that your name's the Apostle Paul. The secret to the can-do life is the through Christ who gives me strength. That's the secret. That's the thing that's going to make the difference in our lives, is it's through Christ who gives me strength. So I'm going to look at this can-do life with you just for a few moments this morning, hit a couple highlights here. And the first thing that I want to talk about is the source, and that's what we're talking about now. The source of the can-do life found in the words, through Christ. It's not I can do all things through my money. I can do all things through my intellect. I can do all things through my personality. I can do all things through the connections that I have with other people. No, it's I can do all things, say it with me, through Christ. Through Christ. You got to get that. That's the source. That's the only source. Nothing else works. In fact, you take those two words out of this verse of Scripture, and it doesn't apply anymore. You take these two words out of this, it's not even true anymore. The only way we can do all things is through Christ. Through Christ. Now, what are you talking about when you say I can do all things? Because Paul, I don't think you can fly. I don't think you can run 60 miles an hour. I don't think you can make money grow on trees. What do you mean I can do all things? And what he's saying is, I can do all of the things that God asked me to do through the strength that he's going to give me to do it. In other words, God's not going to put me in any circumstance or any situation where I'm going to fail as long as I keep my eyes on him, I keep my focus on him, I put my trust in him, I recognize that it's not my ability, it's not my strength, it's not what I can do, it's all about Jesus. Somebody say, it's all about Jesus. Look to your neighbor and tell them, because they didn't hear you the first time. It's all about Jesus. That's what Paul is saying, it's all about Jesus. In the upper room, Jesus makes a statement to his disciples in John chapter 15, and he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. That was Jesus' way of putting it. Paul kind of puts it in a different way, but with Christ, I can do anything. I can do all of the things that are being asked of me to do in my Christian walk. I can do it. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it's not by might, not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, does that mean that we just sit back and we don't even do anything? Does that mean we just, well, I just cross my legs and sit down and go, okay, God, you do it all then if you're the one that does it all? No. Remember, Paul says, I can do through Christ. There's still an I can do part. There's still an I can do that we have to do. There's still an expectation. There's still a level of obedience that Jesus is saying, this is what I'm asking you to do. And as you do that, then I'm going to take care of all the stuff that you can't do. I'm going to empower you beyond the ability that you have in your own natural strength, in your own natural wisdom. And so we need to, as a church, we need to, as individuals, We need to embrace what God is asking us to do, to reach our community, to reach our city, to reach our neighbor, to love on people, to disciple people, to raise them up, to bring the kingdom of God into this place. We need to say, yes, Lord, we embrace that, but I know I can't do it without your help. And so, Lord, would you empower us? Secondly, not only can we do it through Christ, but what is it that we can do? What is the scope of the can-do life? And that's found in the words, all things. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So Paul, we've already said what that's not. It's not I can fly, I can make money grow on trees. It's I can do whatever it is that God is asking me to do. Whatever he's putting in front of me as I'm walking this journey, this Christian journey. I'm walking it out every day of my life, and I encounter stuff, obstacles, difficulties. He says, in the process of serving the Lord, he's going to give me the strength to do whatever it is that I need to do. He's saying, for instance, that he could complete any task. He could complete any assignment that had been given him by the Lord. I mean, Paul, we're gonna read it in just a few minutes. He went through some stuff to do the work that God called him to do. He suffered some, but he was able to complete the assignments that God had given him because of Christ that gave him strength. I'm reminded, there's so many stories in the Bible of people that got their strength from the Lord. They got their enablement, their power, the ability, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they did some great things. Think about David, David and Goliath. Most of us, we know that story. Little David out there facing the giant on the battlefield. And everybody's kind of looking at David like, David, you're crazy, man. You lost your mind. That guy, you're just a little boy. He's a giant. He's been a soldier all of his life. You don't know anything about modern warfare and how to take this guy on. And David's like, dude, I'm just telling you, just give me a chance. Because he knew something. He had been called by the Lord to do this. This wasn't a David assignment. This was a God assignment. And he's like, and I know. And he stands on the battlefield, and Goliath is mocking him and laughing at him. Like, I'm going to feed you to the birds, dude. And David's like, yeah, you think so. Except for the fact, what you don't really understand is you come at me with your sword and your shield, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. See, he knew where his source was. He knew where his power was. He knew where the strength came from. He knew where the ability came from. He knew where the I can came from. It came from Christ. He's like, I can do whatever the task is. I want to tell you, some of you may be wrestling with some stuff. You may be trying to figure out how you're going to do what you feel like Christ has called you to do. And you're just like, I don't know how to do it. Maybe I can't. Maybe it's too big. Maybe it's beyond my scope, and maybe I'm just delirious to even think that God called me to do it. Listen, I want to tell you, if you know down deep inside, you know in your knower, you know down in your spirit, man, that God has said something to you, it doesn't matter how much money it takes. It doesn't matter how much education. It doesn't matter how many people it's going to take. It doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters. All you need to do is to know that God ask you to do it. He gave you the assignment, and then you can just say, well, then I can. I can through Christ who gives me the strength. I can take on any assignment. I can overcome any temptation. I can overcome any temptation that comes my way. Temptation is real. You say, well, Paul probably didn't have to face temptation. Oh, yeah, he did. Listen, look at Romans chapter 7 when he says there are things that I want to do and yet I'm not doing, and things I know I ought not to do and I end up doing them anyhow. And then he asks this question, who's going to deliver me from this struggle that I'm in? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He knew what his strength was. He knew where his strength was. It's in Christ. It's through Christ that gives me the strength to overcome. I can do whatever task, whatever assignment. I can overcome any temptation. I can endure any persecution. I told you we'd come back to this. Look at this scripture here with me about the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. This is Paul now. I mean, how many of you are like, I'd love to be the apostle. I'd love to have been like the Apostle Paul. Anybody like, I'd love to be like the Apostle Paul? Oh, you're already reading the scripture up here, right? Yeah, like, no, that's okay. I'll just pass on being the Apostle Paul. You don't have to be the Apostle Paul. You just got to be who God called you to be. And you may not face the things that we're going to read that Paul faced, but it doesn't minimize the things that you are going to face. Some of you are going through some real stuff. You're dealing with some real struggle, some real trial, some real what feels like persecution maybe. I don't know. Listen to what Paul had to go through. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. In other words, the 39 stripes. That's what he's describing. The 39 stripes. Remember that Jesus took on the cross? Paul says, I didn't just get that once. 5 times. 5 times I've been through that. If that wasn't enough, he says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Listen, most people don't get to write once I was stoned. Because when they get stoned, they die. They don't get to write about it. So we don't know for sure exactly what happened when we read between the lines in the scripture about his stoning it. It's like he was left for dead. Was he really dead or not dead? We're not really sure. Either way, it was a miracle of the Lord in his life. But 3 times he'd been beat with the rods. Once he was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. You know, I'm kind of thinking if I'd been on an airplane and it crashed twice, 2 different crashes, I'd probably not get on another airplane, you know? Paul's like, man, I got to get on the ship. I got to go. God's calling me. And shipwrecked again 3 times. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. I haven't been through all of those things. Most of you haven't been through any of those things. Maybe a few of you have been through a couple of them. But our situations, our problems, our persecutions, they're just as real to us as what Paul had to experience. And Paul is the one who's saying to us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul, this guy who's experienced all this, is the one that's saying, I've learned, no matter what my circumstances, to be content. And I know that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I want to tell you today that some of you, there's a call of God on your life. There are things that you're going through. There's some battles that you're fighting. There's some difficulties. And there have been times in your life, going back to where I began this message, where you just felt like, I just can't. I just can't. I can't do it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I'm done. I'm through. I'm finished. Stick a fork in me. I'm done. I want to tell you, through Christ, you can. Through Christ, you can. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I just ask that across this room today, you would just begin to drop faith into the hearts of your children. Lord, some of them are tired and they're weary. Some of them are frustrated and they're at the verge of giving up maybe, letting go and saying, I just can't do it. I just can't. It's too hard. Lord, you knew how hard it was going to be before you ever asked us to follow you. You knew the circumstances in life that we were going to face. And you've promised us that we can overcome. We can walk in victory. We can rise above it. We can be content. We can be at peace. We can rejoice evermore through Christ who gives us strength. As we sit here with our heads bowed, I want to ask you, would you just take a moment with the Lord? Just take a moment with the Holy Spirit and just let him just begin to put his finger on whatever's going on in your life that's causing you the most stress, the most fear or worry or anxiety. Maybe some situation that you've been wrestling with and just don't know what to do. You've been wondering, can I even do it? Holy Spirit, would you just bring that to our attention right now? Put it front and center in our minds right now. Each one, Lord, what it is that you want to talk to us about. That thing. Yeah. That thing that's right there in the front of your mind right now. God wants you to know you can. You can do it through Christ who wants to give you the strength. You can overcome. You can rise above it. You can walk out victorious. And it really doesn't even matter what the circumstances are and if they change or not, because God's changing you and he's giving you the ability to come out on top. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that right now. I want to ask another question again. As your heads are bowed, just in the holiness of this moment, with Jesus here. Maybe there's some folks in this room and you came in today and your life is a mess. Been doing your best to try to do it the best way you knew how, and you're just like, it's not working. And if this is all there is to life, I'm not even sure that I even want to keep going on anymore. Maybe you actually even said that before you came into this place today, and you kind of gave it, but Lord, I'll go to church, I'll give you one chance. I don't know why you're here. I don't know what brought you here other than the Holy Spirit. But if you're here today and you're lost without Jesus, without hope, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. He loves you so much that he died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sins so that you don't have to pay your own sins penalty. All you have to do is just cast yourself at the mercy of Jesus and say, Jesus, would you come into my heart and forgive me? And if we repent and we turn away from that sin and we confess it before the Lord, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you need to be saved today, you need to call on the name of the Lord. I would love to pray with you, whether you're in this room or whether you're watching us online today. The Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart's door, saying, just give me a chance. I can do it. I can turn it around. I can change the direction of your life if you'll just give me a chance. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you. Anybody else? I need Jesus in my life. I need him to turn it around. I'm ready to surrender all to him today. Anyone else? Lord, you saw those hands that were lifted. Lord, you know the heart today. My prayer is, Lord, would you just love on them and save them in Jesus' name? And here's what I want you to do. If you raised your hand, if you're online and you didn't get a chance to necessarily raise your hand, but that's you, and you want Jesus to transform your life, would you just pray this simple prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I confess that I am broken. I am a sinner. I am lost without you. I invite you, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you just join with me and celebrating those who prayed that prayer? If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to meet you at the close of this service and talk with you about the next steps that you need to take to walk out this relationship with Jesus. If you're online, I encourage you, would you just let us know? We'll reach out to you and send some material your way. Before